And, you know, as Christians, we can ask that too. If the Lord says, don't do that, in our head, we're thinking, well, why not? Why? You know, we have to have a reason why we shouldn't do that. So I think in this chapter, there's the don't with whys. And it gives us good support of why we shouldn't do certain things. So what I thought I would do, just to sort of get into the thing like what Rod did with handing the papers out, I'm not going to do that tonight. I'm going to stick them on the thing. So I just want to let you see, if you have your Bibles open, you can quickly look at it, but we'll go back over them. This first one is verses 1 to 3 and then 6 to 8. And I summarized it by saying, don't let your appetite affect your discernment. Don't let your appetite affect your discernment. So now you're eating there, so be discerning. Don't let your appetite affect you. Well, not really that application, but okay, so we'll put this on the fence. Now, the fence. I only had one person who said he wanted to sit there because he usually sits there. And I said, well, you can go sit in there. But the illustration that I wanted to make, and you've heard this, I'm sure, is that God puts fences up around certain areas, warnings. Don't go there. Do not go there. Not safe territory. And of course, you know, we're sort of like, well, why not? And the neat thing about it is when God does this, look at all the open territory around us. You've got all these other tables that you can sit at, but just because the red fence is that red or orange? Orange. Okay. Orange fence is there. There's that, oh, wonder what's in there. And you know who makes that table look very interesting? Our enemy. He puts the stuff. Well, we didn't have popcorn there, guys, so we should have had some in there. He puts stuff in there to make us look at it and to want to climb over it. But God has given us all this open territory where we can sit and eat and enjoy Him. Well, okay, so don't let your appetite affect your discernment. Next one is in verse 4 and 5. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. I really like that. I took it early in my career. I didn't think I was going to get rich. And then I went into missions and I knew I wasn't going to get rich. All right, so we'll put that on there. The next one is verse 10. Don't steal from the fatherless. And when we get into that passage, you'll see, if you steal from the fatherless, you are in big trouble. You're up against someone you don't want to be against. The next one is verse 13. Don't be afraid to correct your young ones. We all know that one, right? We all know that passage. Well, we're going to maybe look at that tonight. Verse 17, don't let your heart envy sinners. You know, look at them. Look at all the things they get and win, and I don't get anything. Well, there's a reason why we shouldn't envy sinners. Don't despise your mother when she is old. That's a whole study in itself, just of relationships with parents as we go through life. But this one specifically, do not despise your mother. That's verse 22. And I have a friend, I don't spend much time on Facebook, but when I see hers, she's been sending out all sorts of quotes about respecting your mother. So I don't know what's going on in her life with her kids, but she's putting it out there. So Okay, verse 23, don't sell the truth. And in the context of that verse, it's about what you've gained, truth you've gained from family in the context. Don't go giving it away, getting into the world. Don't sell it. Don't give it away. And, okay, these two actually go together, but I'll read one at a time. Don't hang out with drunkards and gluttons. That's verse 20. So we can make application to many different kinds of vices related to alcohol and other chemicals that we have in our culture today. And then the second one is, don't let the sparkle and the smooth taste of strong wine deceive you. You know, well, on TV is enough. The bottles, or at the liquor store, you see the bottles. Do they ever package that stuff in ugly-looking bottles? Never. Those things are so enticing. Just to have the glass bottle is a collector's item. And don't let that attract you, pull you in. Where are we here? And here. Okay, so I'm going to deal with four of them. If we have some time, we'll maybe pick some others that we would like to talk about. So number two was, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich, verses 4 and 5. The message, it says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Restrain yourself. Riches disappear in the blink of an eye. Wealth sprouts wings and flies off into the wild blue yonder. So it's like, I have it, it's gone. And if you're inclined to spend money very quickly or use credit cards overmaxed, it goes even faster. So the warning is, don't give yourself your focus on getting rich. Here's what Ecclesiastes says. Those who love money will never have enough. How much is enough, Pat? How much is enough? $1 more. It's never enough. More money. What's better than more money? More money, he says at work. His friend. So, how meaningless it is to think that wealth brings true happiness. And I think if you walked with the Lord and had money in your life, you realize that the money doesn't bring happiness, it's Him. I'm going to read this to you, and some of you may recognize it. Let's see. I have come to the pinnacle of success in business. In the eyes of others, my life has been the symbol of success. However, apart from work, I have little joy. Finally, my wealth is simply a fact to which I am accustomed. At this time, lying on a hospital bed and remembering all my life, I realize that all the accolades and riches of which I was once so proud have become insignificant with my imminent death. So he's laying there and he's thinking, I had it all. It's really not that significant now. Only now do I understand that once you accumulate enough money for the rest of your life, you have to pursue objectives that are not related to wealth. Like making money becomes boring. You got to do something else to make life interesting. I don't know that from experience, but no, stop pursuing wealth. It can only make a person into a twisted being just like me. God has made us one way. We can feel the love in the heart of each of us and not illusions built by fame or money like I made in my life. I cannot take them with me. Wise man. You, if you have money, you can hire someone to drive your car, but you cannot hire someone to take your illness that is killing you. Material things lost can be found, but one thing you can never find once you have lost it is life. Now, when I first saw that, it was supposedly Steve Jobs that said that on his deathbed. And I looked up Snopes, and it's not true. But whoever wrote that put a lot of truth of what we know to be true as believers. Wealth that is sought and derived apart from from trust in the Lord, self-ambition, greed, envy, and all sorts of disorders and evil practices arise. And the Bible tells us that in Timothy. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires. This is chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. That plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Praise the Lord that he gives us these kinds of words to protect us. The fencing to protect us from getting in and destroying ourselves. All right, the third one. Don't steal from the fatherless, verse 10. So the verse says, do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer, capital R, is strong. He will plead their case against you. So who are they against? Who are they going against? The Lord. They're going against God. And, you know, we think of people in our culture today, widows, orphans. In the verse I'm going to read about foreigners, God is for them. In the ancient Near East, it was the responsibility of the king and his officials to protect the fatherless. In Israel, property boundaries were representative of a covenant lease between those who kept covenant with Jehovah. Moving boundaries or taking away fields or harvests required corruption at various levels. So the individual, the immediate supervisors maybe, or people in charge, and then right up to the king could, if it was a big move, they could be involved. Those who committed such acts were in danger of God's judgment. And all the verses from Deuteronomy, he ensures that orphans and widows receive justice. Cursed is anyone who denies justice to foreigners, orphans, or widows. And are we not still called to give justice to those, to make sure those people receive justice, fair treatment, to advocate for them? They're weaker people, maybe not as capable of getting access to officials that we could be to help them do that. And so I think as a church, we need to keep our eyes open as believers, as to people who have needs, special needs like that. It's hard enough for ourselves if we're working, if you've worked any government government papers and all that kind of stuff, it's difficult enough trying to get through that yourself, even with help. You have widows, they're alone, they can't discuss it with their husband, orphans, their kids, and then new people, newcomers to our country. They don't know the system like we know it. We don't know they don't know who to contact. God, I believe, calls us to be involved in helping people like that. All right, down to verse 17. Don't let your heart envy sinners. You ever done that? Anybody ever? Ever? Nope. Okay. Well, sometimes you see, wow, they got a nice house, and they got this, and they got that, and don't have any problems. apparently. How do they do that and they don't know the Lord? Well, it tells us not to get into envying those people because, let me read the verse. I'll read to you from Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers. And for they will wither quickly like grass and fade like the green herb. And then in Psalm 73, the Psalm of Asaph, the end of the wicked, that's what he talks about in that psalm. And he says, for I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. We have to look at the whole picture. What's down deep in their lives? What's really going on? You may see lots of things that the bank owns, but we don't see what's happening in their hearts and in their dynamics and their families. And we know from the scriptures what their end is without God. All right, the last one, 8 and 9 that I have up on the other side. Don't hang out with drunkards and gluttons. Don't let the sparkle and the smooth taste of strong wine deceive you. So I'm going to read through those passages from the Living Bible and New Living Translation. I've mixed these up. Don't carouse with drunkards and gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty. That's pretty clear, isn't it? There's a why. They're on their way. And remember that too much sleep clothes a man with rags. Some people, that's how they think they're going to succeed in life, is to sleep it off. Sleep it. Oh, well, you're going to sleep it off if you're going to drink a lot. And then in verse 29, who has anguish? Who has sorrow? Who is always fighting? Who is always complaining? Who has unnecessary bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? It is the one who spends long hours in the taverns trying out new drinks. Don't gaze at the wine, seeing how red it is, how it sparkles in the cup, how smoothly it goes down. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous snake. It stings like a viper. You will see hallucinations and you will say crazy things. You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast. And you will say, they hit me, but I didn't feel it. I didn't even know it when they beat me up. And when will I wake up so I can look for another drink? All of that experience, and at the end, what does he say? Well, when can I get back at it? And that's the unfortunate thing for people who are into substance abuse of any kind. They abuse it, and it pays its penalty on them, yet they don't have the strength to make the break. And I'm making that very simple. I'm not into condemning anybody who may be an alcoholic or into drugs, but it's just telling us that not to hang out with that circle of friends who are doing that. I heard recently where someone just from this area, he committed suicide down in Barrie, but his brother, committed suicide in jail. He got straight for a couple of years, and then he got involved with the friends again and ended up committing suicide. And then don't be attracted by the attractive sale of the stuff that sits inside this fence. Don't be deceived. This morning, Peter was doing chapter 4, and as he was reading verses 3 and 5, I thought, oh, that fits in with what we're talking about here. If you've come out of a lifestyle like that, what happens? What do your friends say? Bless you. Come on back. You're a real example. We're going to follow you. No, they mock you. And here's what this passage says. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. And it's hard. I remember when I got saved, I wasn't a heavy drinker. I was just one of the guys, and we drank. But, you know, when I made that decision to follow Christ, there was mockery. That'll never last. You'll never stick with that. You know, you're a Bible thumper, and you'll get over it. Praise the Lord, I didn't get over it by His grace. So we've had these, where are we at? Great. Okay, we're not going to do another don't. but we're going to end up with this. And Jen, these are three statements of fatherly advice. And if you read this chapter, you can see in my mind's eye, as I was thinking, you know, Solomon's writing this out. Maybe he talked with his son, right face to face on these things, but he's giving him all these things: don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. And I think he probably didn't say don't type of an attitude. He's just saying, this is fatherly advice, don't go that way. But then there's a couple of things prohibition statements that are made in this chapter. In verse 12, apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. So he's trying to get, other than the don'ts, he's trying to get him to look at the discipline that he needs to have in his life. And gaining words of knowledge, we've heard a lot about that as we've gone through these wisdom and knowledge, as we've gone through these Proverbs. And then verse 17, live in the fear of the Lord always. Again, a theme that's been coming through Proverbs. Living in the fear of God. Amen. And then there was stuff that we talked about in there about mothers, but listen to your father who begot you. Begat you. Begot you? Begot. listen to your father. You know, I've seen many examples of young people, even my peers back in the day, didn't listen to their mother, didn't listen to their dad. And I don't know why. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, but to me it just made sense to listen to my parents, because then I would get what I wanted. You know, I just didn't want to create a bunch of hassle. And here's Solomon telling his son, listen to your father who begot you. And we've just gone through 23 chapters of what he has said to his sons. And we're blessed to be able to receive that kind of wisdom. So thank you very much. And you want to know any of the other ones, go read them. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom you give us and the warnings that you've given to us in our walk with you and in this world. Lord, protecting us from dangers and destruction and deception. Lord, we thank you that outside of those warning areas, we have amazing freedom to enjoy what you created for us and you've created us for to do in this world for you. So thank you for tonight. Lord, go with us as we go into this coming week, that we may be examples of Jesus, that we may take wisdom with us to talk to those who may have gone or are in areas, don't areas in their lives. And Lord, that they would find freedom in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.